League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Angie, Patty, I am broken.
Right, you need to explain your brokenness.
So I'm not going to go into too much detail.
I want detail. I don't give a shit. I do not give a shit about Michelle and Mel, right?
I can't give detail.
No, right.
I promised Michelle I wouldn't.
I can't
give detail.
I don't care.
So we just had a really good, fun weekend, but it was tough, guys. It was late nights. It was lots of fun. It was lots of conversations. I've come out in the most horrendous cold sore today.
Oh, no, have you?
Yeah.
That is a sure sign of burning the candle at both ends.
Oh, we burnt the candle. The candle burnt out, mate.
Did you have a full-on sort of just arson?
Yeah. So we went to bed. I arrived Thursday. We did go to bed relatively early Thursday night. Mel arrived Friday. We went to bed at 3 a.m. Saturday morning and 4 a.m. Sunday.
Oh, I don't know how you did that.
No, I can't do it anymore.
No.
I cannot. I wish we'd switched the days over and done the really like raucous
crazy
night on
night.
Friday night.
Yeah.
And the less raucous on the Sunday.
Yeah, but don't you find that, like, sometimes I think when you go away with girlfriends and that, especially when they're people that you maybe haven't seen for a long time, it almost takes you a little while to sort of warm up, get into the groove. Do you find?
Yeah, I suppose it's different with Mel, Michelle and I because we have a lot of contact around, like even when we don't see each other.
Yeah, I know, but it's still different. I don't... It's obviously just me then.
Maybe it's just me.
But I sometimes think that's why sometimes you end up having your craziest, heaviest, latest night when you've done your sort of one or two days of just sort of, you know, working each other out. Where do we fit? Where are we? What's changed since the last time we were together? So I think it probably was that you wouldn't have had any control over that anyway.
Well, whatever it was, I'm fucking knackered.
Because I know you guys, I know Mel and Michelle. And I think, you know, all three of you can be very deep. You really go balls deep when you want to, can't you?
Balls deep.
Was there a lot of balls deep?
Oh, God, loads. Like, just some personal things I've got going on in my life at the moment alone meant there was a lot of deep and meaningful.
A lot of balls deeps.
Yeah. And I woke up this morning and I just thought, I don't want to be an adult today.
Oh,
I want to go back to bed. I want to pull the duvet over my head and I want to go, Mum, what are we having for dinner?
I know.
Mum, can I have some lunch?
I don't think you really ever appreciate that when you're a child.
Oh,
do you?
That whole, like, you know, you think you've got it hard when you're coming from school. I mean, fuck that. They don't know they're bloody born. Just coming in and being able to go, Mum, what's for dinner?
Yeah, I know. I still get that. I had, before I came on this call, I mean, to be fair to my daughter, she is actually cooking tea, so I shall not bitch about her too much. But literally, about 5 o'clock, she calls me up, Mum, what's for tea?
Exactly. You've thought about what she may be cooking it, but she hasn't had to do the pre-work.
No, she hasn't done any of the prep, has she?
No.
No. Well, actually, I mean, we've got no food in our house.
Neither have we. We're getting a Nando's after this.
Oh, don't say that.
Yeah, we're getting a Nando's delivered. That's... We are getting a Nando's delivered to our door after this. I'm going to stuff my face with chicken and halloumi and chips.
Right. You need to shush now because do you know what I've got? Shitty pasta.
That is shitty. I have got to I mean, Mel cooked the most amazing spread on Saturday night, right? I mean, I'm talking like, oh my God, and you would have loved it. She did this amazing shredded carrot salad. Oh. She did this incredible bruschetta.
She's very good like that, Mel, isn't she?
Oh my God. Yeah. I was telling her all weekend she needs to write some kind of book.
Really?
She did this amazing walnut, beetroot, feta, Greek yogurt, dill salad.
I love a bit of dill.
And it was like something that you... Actually, do you know what? No. I'm going to ask if she wants to come on.
What, now?
No, not now. I mean, she would. But I'm going to ask if she wants to come on the podcast and do a little, like, how do you make a good salad? Because she told us the absolute bare essentials you need. And she, the thing is with Mel is she will do it from stuff you've got in the cupboard.
Really?
She'll open her fridge and she'll be like, bit of that.
I'll just chuck that in.
Oh, she did this chorizo. Oh, my God. She did this chorizo with honey and sesame. Oh, and she, like, char grilled it. And then she grilled the halloumi in the juices of this, like, honey, sesame, chorizo oil.
Anyone who is putting things in juices.
That is for me.
They are another level of human being, in my opinion. So you are cooking in juices, and that is all I need.
She cooked this amazing spread. She said I bought the tone down because I bought a pepperoni pizza.
Classic. That is classic. You brought a pepperoni pizza. She comes with absolutely everything to make a delicious spread in juices.
I was like, I'm going to get a pepperoni pizza. And at like 2 o'clock in the morning, we bought this cheesecake, which we didn't end up opening. But at 2 o'clock in the morning, we got it out and we sat on the sofa each with a teaspoon and basically hacked into this cheesecake. But yeah, so she made this amazing spread and there was loads left over. So the next day we were going to have that for brunch. I woke up and I was like, fuck that. I don't want beetroot. I don't want a shredded carrot. I want about 85 pieces of toast. In fact, what I really want is a Mackie's breakfast, but I've woken up too late. We've got another update, haven't we? The other thing that we should...
Yes, we need to update everyone on because, you know, it's been dragging on now and we're being a bit shit. But we do need to update you all on the challenge patty. It's proving to be a bit tricky, gang, for being perfectly honest. Just, you know, trying to find the time. We don't live that near to each other, so we've got to find a good time that we can both be together. We can be free. We need the weather. There's a lot of things at play with this challenge, Patty. It's not like mine, which was like wearing my pajamas to Tesco or doing a GRWM.
No.
So we have given some thought to maybe sort of just doctoring the challenge patty slightly.
Yeah.
So rather than an actual cold water dip, that we actually just do something like iced water chucking it over her head.
That the ice sort bucket of challenge.
Yes. Yes. So I think that's probably what we need to do.
If we just arrange a day in the next weeks.
Yeah.
Where I come over to your house, you get the coldest bucket of water and you chuck it over my head.
I mean, we could also just do a big old hose down.
Oh, mate, I'm up for hosier. I've
got a flashy hose now.
Have you?
Yeah, I've
got welcome to middle aged.
Do you know what? I am really falling into that bracket now.
You are loving your pots.
I am, my pots.
When we went for that barbecue at Mum and Dad's.
Yeah.
And you were like, oh, Mal, loving your pots. Yeah. Oh, Andrew, I've got some of these plants left over. I'll take them. Dad, I'll take those for your pots.
I am.
Oh, God. You should do a podcast with Alan Titchmarsh.
I should, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or with Michaela Strachan.
And Michaela Strachan. She'd be the one, wouldn't she?
Yeah, I think she would actually.
She's and hot, obviously Michaela Strachan.
She is. She's a very, very good looking woman. Because I reckon she's got to be in her 50s, isn't she?
Easy.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, some of our listeners may not be aware, but on my social medias, Instagram. I have been doing a bit of my own sort of spring watch, and I've had a robin nest in my garden.
Yes.
And the last robin flew the nest.
Do you feel bit sad?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, and then I was like, oh, do you think they'll come back and nest again? And, you know, I've been like Googling stuff to find out if they reuse their nest. And
will
apparently they do.
Not?
Yes. No, they can do. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm really hoping that they come back and do another little nesting.
Have the mummy and daddy gone as well then?
Well, do you know what? They're still around in the garden.
And so the babies.
And the babies and the mum and dad. And you see them sort of flying about. And so, you know, I'm keeping an eye on them because obviously Luna is around and we're like, you know, we don't want you eating the babies.
No.
But yeah, so I've become like so old. I'm like, what is wrong with me?
Do you remember when I rescued that bat?
Hey? You rescued a bat from where?
Yeah, it was in the garden and it was really poorly. And I put I Googled how to, like, this is when I was about 14. And I Googled how to look after a bat and they said they needed heat. So me and Mum got a shoebox and filled it with cotton wool and put the bat in the airing cupboard. And it absolutely thrived. But then I couldn't stop looking at it. And Mum kept telling me that I would make it ill again. And I did, and it died, and I was demoed.
No!
Yeah. Because I couldn't leave it alone.
I know, I must admit, with these baby robins, I had to keep, like, because actually somebody did message me and say, like, you can go and look at them stuff, but don't disturb them, because otherwise the mum think that she will abandon them.
Yeah.
So I kept like just going, having a look, and then I'd come away. Obviously, I did a couple of little sort of stories showing them in their nest. But then I was like, I've just got to leave them alone because otherwise.
The funniest story you did was when you pulled back the thing and they were all there with their mouths open. And you went, oh, I'm so sorry I disturbed you. I'm just showing my 27 people from my poll that you're here. Okay, I'm going to go now. Bye.
You're like, oh no, I've disturbed them. They're all
and they obviously
now.
Thought Mummy Robin was back with food because they opened their mouths, didn't they?
Yeah,
yeah, very cute.
So yeah, I'm definitely aging.
Oh, yeah, but Angie, you're aging like a fine wine and a good cheese.
That is true. That is true, Pats. Yes,
that is true.
Fine wine, good cheese. That is.
I think we've talked about this before, but over the weekend, Mel, Michelle, and I talked about whether we would ever have like Botox or anything like that, and I was hard no.
Were you?
Yeah.
See, I don't think I'm a hard no.
Yeah, I'm a hard no.
I'm very much like, I'm not a hard no, because I do think if I get to a point where I'm starting to see shit, more wrinkles and shit, and I, you know, so far, you know, we're quite blessed in the on the skin front, which I'm very grateful for, but if I start to notice it and it starts to really bother me, then I think I might go just pop a little bit of something just in there and in there and just sort of just tighten me up, Jeff, if you don't mind.
I don't want the frozen look.
Oh, no, that's what I mean. Like, it would have to be like the tiniest amount that would
baby
just...
Botox, maybe.
Baby Botox. That's what we're talking here, Pats, which is why I'm like, I'm not a hard no. I'm a very gentle yes.
Okay.
What were Mel and Michelle?
Nose. They were nose.
Really? All three of you were hard nose?
Yeah, because I think I've watched stuff on Instagram where people have regretted it. Like, not because it's made their face look like, you know, stuff's gone wrong or they've had too much, but they've had the smallest amount and they have become a bit frozen. And, you know, there's loads of research that says our communication is like 90% body language and expression. So I feel like if that expressiveness, for the sake of wrinkles, I'd rather have the expressiveness of my face to make good connections with people than not have wrinkles and get a bit frozen in places. And these are people who haven't had loads done.
I'm like, fuck that. I'm okay with not being
connectable.
I'm okay with not being connectable.
Yeah,
I'm okay with just being a little bit frozen in places.
Yeah.
And sort of still looking 35 or something like that. You know, I'm okay with that.
So guess who our dish behaviour came in from this week?
I mean, is it possibly Laura Levine?
It is Laura Levin.
Laura Levin, the Levinator.
Laura Levin has come up trumps
yet again.
With a dickish behaviour that is, when the postman leaves you a red card instead of leaving your parcel with your neighbour, dick.
Why do they do that? Like, they've put a card through your door just saying we've tried to deliver your parcel, and then they've pissed off with your parcel.
Yeah. Have you ever gone to try and pick one of those up without ID?
I don't think so, no.
When we used to live in Beaconsfield, right?
Yeah.
There was a post office collection place, but it was only open. Honestly, it was like, we are open Monday, Tuesday, 9 till 10.30, Wednesday, 9 till 9.30, Thursday, Friday, 9 closed. Till 9.45, Friday closed. So if you didn't get there in the like stupid hours that they had,
yeah,
I had to go to the one... The next one, which was High Wycombe, right?
Okay, yeah.
So I obviously didn't... This was like the first or second time I'd sort of had something delivered. And I didn't read the cards. I didn't say you must... You didn't realise you must bring ID. Yada, all that shit. Get up to the thing. And this woman... We've talked about post office staff before. And this is not all post office staff. I just want to caveat that.
Yes.
There are lots of lovely people who work behind post office counters. But this woman was not...
No.
And so I slid the thing under the glass thing. I said, I'm here to pick up a parcel. Yeah. She stared at me. Well, where's your ID? I said, I haven't. It says it there. So she slid it back to me. Read the bottom of that card. I said, look, I can give you my full name, my date of birth, my fucking leg measurement if you want it, love. So we just had this like stare off for a bit, and I said, well, obviously I've got the card, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Anyone could have the card.
Well, no, they can't, can
they?
Exactly.
It can't just because it goes through your letterbox in my house.
Yeah. Unless someone's coming around, putting their hand in my letterbox and randomly selecting some paper card.
Plus the fact, why would somebody want to steal my parcel? It's probably clothes that are going to fit me or something that I've ordered. So she
some
just
sort
stared
of skin
at me.
Care.
Said, exactly. Mm. So she stared at me and she just said, can't do it without ID.
No ID, no parcel.
I said, is there no way on this? She said, don't try and persuade me. People try and persuade me all the time. Without the ID, you'll have
you're
to come back.
Your parcel.
I said, can I go and get it now? Should we close in 20 minutes? I was literally like, fuck you. Fuck you.
And that's what Mal would call a job's worth.
A job's worth.
There was like no deviating. If you don't have your ID, you're not
exactly.
having a parcel.
Just leave it with my neighbour then. Leave my parcel with my neighbour.
Do you think they get... Like, because I... Basically, you've got extremes with deliveries, right?
Yeah. Oh,
you've got
yeah.
some you delivery people.
You ever seen that reel that did the rounds of like all the different delivery drivers?
Just and chucking it here, there, and everywhere.
Yeah.
Every
was like the box.
They're a fucking joke.
They
are
like,
a joke.
The box was half ripped open. There was a packet. There's a packet of sweets open in the door. They just leave it at the front door.
Yeah. That's what I mean. It's like... do they have like set guidelines? So I think, right, your DPDs are your top.
Right.
They're your top, right? They
no,
do
DHL.
Not leave.
DHL, I'd say, are your top.
Okay. DHL, DPDs, maybe your UPSs, right?
Yeah.
They are your top dogs. We
top
are
dogs.
Not leaving your parcel anywhere with anyone. We're not leaving your neighbour. Yeah. We'll shove a card through your door telling you we tried to deliver it. And then it's up to you when you get your parcel. Bring ID. And then you've got the other end, your Everys. Your, I mean, I don't want to diss Royal Mail, but slightly Royal Mail. Who else? What is the other one? There's another one that dick around with it. Or just, well, I mean, Amazon deliveries to a certain extent.
Amazon don't give a shit.
They would literally leave your parcel just randomly anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, we tried to deliver it. We've left it in with some random person that lives 10 minutes away.
Yeah.
You know, there's no consistency with the deliveries.
Do you think that Royal Mail have to give out a certain amount of red cards a year? Like they have a quota. They have to get back in their van and say red card left. Yeah. Didn't leave with late neighbour. Wanted to piss off a percentage of the population. Don't worry, red card is left.
It's also like, you know, some of them are so particular that if, you know, if they come to deliver you something, they have to take a photo of you taking the parcel.
Yeah, that's stupid, isn't it?
And then when they email the picture to you, I don't know whether this is just like,
I've never had a picture emailed to me.
Don't you? We have them emailed, right? I don't know why.
What?
I don't know why.
You've got like an OnlyFans account with your postie. Well,
yeah, it's basically for all those people that are really into deliveries. Yeah. But we get, so someone tries to deliver something, you open the door, they give you the parcel, you have to be shut, you know, the transaction of here's your parcel, wait, let me take a photo of you taking the parcel, right? Then we get some weird email saying we've delivered your parcel, we know we took it. But the photo that comes through for some reason, like, shortens you.
Yeah.
So you look like you've got really short legs and a really short body.
Amazing.
And then your hand just taking the parcel.
Well, because it's not taken on a camera, is it? It's taken on their like electric
on their little
device.
Thingy thing, isn't it?
Thingy thing.
So also, some of these pictures come through, and honestly, I'm like, who the hell is that? Oh, it's me.
It's me. Also, when you get sometimes left a card.
Yeah.
They don't actually put on it the neighbour they've left it with.
No.
So I got one through the other day and I was like, don't know. So I had to go to the neighbours at the end, the next one. It was at the third house. I was like, have you got... He said, oh, yeah, I've got it. I said, oh, thank fuck for that. I've gone to the other two houses. I mean, just put on it, mate. Like, left at
62 with number 17 or whatever.
Don't give me just a red card and have me trail round my estate. Did you get a... Did you? No, not you. Okay. Did you? No, okay.
No. I know.
They're Every used to be before they became Every.
Yeah, they were another shit one.
It's the same. Hermes. Hermes.
Hermes.
It was Hermes, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Why did they become Every?
Because they were shit.
Well, no, Hermes is still Every. They've just changed their name.
That's what I mean. So I reckon it was something to do with Hermes. Hermes. I like saying it. Hermes. Was so shit that they had to like shut down as Hermes because everyone hated them. And they became Every. And it was like, oh, Every's, they're really good. Oh, actually, no, they're shit because they're actually Hermes.
I tell you what, though, Amazon are amazing. I've ordered some vitamins.
Vitamins.
And a cold sore thing, like this light thing that you put over your cold sore. I ordered it at like 3:30 this afternoon. It's going to be here by 10 o'clock tomorrow morning.
I know.
That's why they've got the monopoly.
Sometimes I'm like, I don't know if I like that.
I know what you mean.
Do you know what I mean? The sort
you
of
like
you
a
know,
simplistic vibe.
Yes, I do. Yeah. You know, I'm sort of a bit like, oh, we're just becoming too.
Impatient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we just got no ability to wait for anything.
Now. I want that picture now. Yeah. I want that parcel now. I want that dress now. Yeah. I want it now.
Yeah. Yeah. We're primed to the hilt, aren't we? Everything's primed.
Everything's fast now.
Yeah. And I don't know if I like that, to be honest.
We asked for a dilemma, didn't we?
We did. Yes.
We had some good ones.
We did. Yeah, very good ones. Yeah.
So this person would like to be kept anonymous, and this is her email to us. Hi, Ruth and Ange. First of all, I'm a huge fan of the podcast, and whilst I was a bit late to the party, I absolutely binged the shit out of it and have been a weekly listener since the beginning of this year. It was a shock to the system having to wait a week for each episode. Well, thank you very much. That's very kind. Thank you for all the laughs, tears, advice, and general chit-chat that has kept me sane over the last year, which leads me to my dilemma. I have a six-month-old son who I share with my ex-wife. We split up during her pregnancy but remain civil most of the time and actually still share a home together. Mm-hmm. Since our son was born, I have met someone and have been seeing her for a few months. Things are starting to get pretty serious. I know, classic lesbians. And I split my time between her house and being at home with my son and his mum. Mm-hmm. My ex is starting to make things a bit more difficult with refusing to let my new partner spend any time with our son, and I'm unsure how to handle this. The only place I can really spend time with him is in our home, which means spending more time with my ex and more time away from my partner. My son is and always will be my main priority, but eventually we will sell the house and go our separate ways, and I worry that she is using these rules as a way to slow down this process by limiting where I can see him. Any advice on how to go about speaking with my ex about this, or how you think this could be best handled, would be much appreciated. Love you both, and thank you for bringing us the best pod around. P.S. Please keep me anonymous.
Oh, well, firstly, what a lovely email. So thank you so much for sending that to us.
Yeah.
Gosh, this is a really tough one, isn't it?
Really tough. I think for me... I would be asking to sit down and chat with her. At the moment, she probably feels like there's a bit of a power imbalance. If you've met somebody else and she hasn't. So I wonder whether it's about saying to her, we need to sit down and have a conversation about how we're going to move things forward. If you'd like there to be a neutral person there while we discuss this, then I'm more than happy for that to happen. But I feel like there's some things that... we need to discuss in order to be able to move stuff forward.
It must be really hard if, even though, like, from the sounds of the dilemma, it it was amicable. There was obviously, you know, it wasn't like, you know, one of them decided to, you know, that was it, I'm done, I'm out, I'm leaving, and the other one was like completely and utterly heartbroken. But either way, whether it was sort of amicable or not, that's still going to hurt to some degree. When there is a child involved, and that is obviously the hard part here, isn't it? Is that, you know, you as adults can kind of agree that you don't want to be together, but when there's a child involved, that means that there is always going to be that crossover of time where you do have to see each other, and you have to be able to kind of be flexible and willing to kind of, you know, change things and allow things to evolve. But like, I take it from that email that the ex-partner is probably kind of trying to control this situation and in turn make it very difficult because she's really hurt. And even if she's not openly saying that and maybe was kind of amicable about the split, I think it's more that she's really finding that hard, and she's finding it hard to like allow your child to have time with you and someone else now that's on the scene. I mean, it's like anything, isn't it? It's like talking about it and trying to kind of find a way of making the situation better and workable for everybody is the main key. But I would be more inclined to try and have a conversation with her and find out if there is more going on for her, if there is like there's a deeper hurt and upset, because I don't know why you would make that difficult if it was an amicable thing and everything was okay. I don't know why you would make that difficult unless there was part of you that was still,
or maybe the ex-partner doesn't feel like the speed in which the new relationship is moving is good for their son. Now, that's why I think you've got to try and make it. I think you've got to make it less about your relationship and more about your son.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally.
Because I don't think. I mean, I think the conversation about "Are you hurt?" isn't going to change anything, is it? Like, it.
No, but I think it's just about trying to understand where that might be coming from.
Yeah, I hear that, but I think for me, you've got to take that emotion out of it in a way. With the history that you two have, and you've got to say, right, what are we going to do in terms of contact for our child when we no longer live in the same house? How are we going to manage contact between us for the best interest of him? And that starts now. That conversation, because so many parents start amicably and then contact becomes the thorn in the side, and they can't even look at each other when they drop off and pick up the child. And that is like, when you're getting into those realms, you're impacting your children. So I would be saying, I mean, if it was me, I'd probably start by writing her an email and keep it quite practical and sort of, you know, I want to have more of a discussion about what contact is going to look like when we move out when we sell our house and we move out of the family home, we've got to start thinking about him. He has a right to have a relationship with both of us. I don't want to stop you doing that, and I hope that you don't want to stop me doing that. So please, can we get a time together to think about what that contact plan is going to look like?
I suppose as well, again, we don't know from the email, but I don't know if the ex-partner has met the new partner, because maybe there's a bit of that, like, you know, I don't know who this new partner is. I don't know anything about her. You know, maybe kind of trying to arrange. And again, it totally depends on how open the ex-partner is. But maybe there's a bit of that there for her. Like, you're gonna take our son, but you're gonna then have time with someone that I don't know, or I don't have any kind of.
But I think as two parents, problem comes in unamicable separations or divorces when there's a lack of trust for the parent that's taking the child to go somewhere else. And at the bottom line is they're both this kid's mum. So she, mum number one, the ex-partner, has a duty and obligation to respect mum number two.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And so I think if it was me, I'd be saying, okay, I don't know why you need to meet my new partner. That's just going to make things, maybe in time that can happen and we can, I don't know.
I think that, you know, if I sort of think, okay, if this was me and Ian, right, and we'd decided to separate and it had been kind of, you know, fairly amicable and, you know, it was okay.
And your children were still really little.
Yes, obviously they're, you know, nearly adults now.
But if they were 6 months.
If they were much smaller, I think I would want to meet. And say Ian had met someone else and they were, you know, it was all very, I'd want to meet that person to make my own, I don't know whether that would put my heart or my mind more at rest to know, actually, I've met the person. I feel like, I mean, hopefully you would feel like, I mean, I'm sure it would be difficult that your ex-partner has now found someone else. And there's lots obviously wrapped up in that. But from a parental perspective, to know that actually I know this person that's going to be around my children, I've met them, I feel okay about it, I feel more comfortable having met them, and I know it's not just like this kind of mystery person that you don't have a clue about. And that's how I think I would, that would make me feel more comfortable with letting them go than not knowing.
And I think that's really easy to say.
Oh, I know,
I'm not in the moment of that. And I totally think it's, for me, if there was, If I wanted to give advice to somebody as to how to separate well with children, it is remaining child-focused and child-centred, and less about what would I want from this situation and what does my child need from this situation. What my child needs from this situation is two parents that can't be together anymore, but that remain in a space where they make sure this little person in the middle feels like it's not their fault that they're not together. Nobody's the good cop or the bad cop. They're both completely loved. The bottom line is he is going to grow up loving and adoring you two more than anyone else in the world. And he's going to be confused why you don't love and adore each other anymore.
Yeah. And I totally agree with all of those things, Pat. And I think it is that thing of, you know, it's very easy when, you know, neither of us have ever been in this situation. So it's almost difficult to give advice on something that you haven't, you know, personally been affected by. But for me, maybe they have met the ex-partner and the new partner. Maybe that has been part of what they've been trying to do. But if not, I don't know whether that might be something that they could talk about. Because I, like for me, like you said, it has to be about what's best for those children or child in this instance. And if the ex-partner is feeling a little bit like, I don't know who this new partner is, and when my son goes off with you, I don't have a clue who this other person is. Whereas meeting them, you know, hopefully you like them. Hopefully it's not going to make anything worse. But that's just
the
how
risk,
I would,
isn't it, with that. That, yes, that is, that but is if the it, risk that it doesn't go well.
No.
And then, but then what happens if it doesn't go well? Because what then starts to happen is that the resident parent or the parent, the ex-partner starts to say, well, I don't like her, so I don't want him going with her. Well, so yeah, then I you mean, create a whole new shitstorm,
yeah,
in the sense.
At some point, that's got to happen.
Not always. There's lots of people that meet new people and have a very amicable relationship for their children with their ex-partner, and never the two shall meet. Yeah, for some people that happens, but not everybody meets their ex-partner's new partner who their children go off with and have, and there's never any issues. And child contact is...
I don't know if I could do that.
The thing I would say to this woman is you want to avoid going down the family court route. Like, if you
can do this,
you've got to do what's right for you, and this is just us giving advice, but you can do this without becoming, so, and for me, I would say start with an email where you list everything that you have sort of said to us, but obviously, you know, that you would like to think about the sale of the house, you would like to think about what the contact agreement's going to look like, you'd like to think about, you know, who's going to have what weekends? Is it going to be 50-50 share? Is it going to be you do, you know, 1 week it's Monday to Wednesday for me, and then, you know, we switch over. I would even start saying, what are we going to do about Christmas? Like, who's having Christmas Eve this year and Christmas Day morning, and who's having Christmas Eve? Like, because all of these things, what split parents do is they just focus on the end of their nose. And then all, like, who's going to have Mother's Day next year? Like, who's going to have Easter? What are you going to do when he gets old enough and he's going to school holidays? The best thing you can do now is set out a plan that says, unless there is an absolute reason we don't deviate from this. Think about, like, if your parents are still alive, how are you going to manage, you know, if their birthday falls on a day that he's not with you, how are you going to manage that? Like, start asking those questions of, like, if my birthday happens to fall on a weekend that he's not with me, how are we going to manage that? How is the adults in this situation, do we manage it so that his life becomes, my mum split up. Both my mums split up with each other when I was a tiny baby, but do you know what? This is my life, and I love her, and I love her, and they like each other to an extent, and I've got this family over here, and I've got this family over there, but I don't get involved in any of the where am I going to be, at what time. I just live my life, and what lots of split parents don't do is have those really difficult, like, I want Christmas Eve this year. Well, I want it too. Talk about that now. Don't let it get to the start of the school holidays, because that's when fights start and text messages go back and forth and parents start withholding contact. And then before you know it, you're balls deep in debt. You're in the family court and it's an absolute nightmare. So I would say email her and outline all of the concerns that you have about contact. Be very clear and direct about what you would like to happen, and say, I really think we need to have a family meeting about this where you and I sit down and thrash this stuff out. And if meeting your partner comes up in that and it's something you feel comfortable with, then sure, like, have a discussion. But just be really acutely aware of those big family calendar events. Don't leave them. Because until that's when it gets horrible. When it gets like, fuck you, I'm not doing this. I'm making an application to court. Like, start talking about, like, is it going to be 50-50 split? Is he going to reside with one of you and have weekend? Like, how are you going to manage all of that stuff? Because it's the things that parents, when they split up, don't do. And then it becomes messy. And then it becomes horrible. And the only thing you two need to do in this is continue to be the adults. That's it. Be the adults that make the decisions and discuss it. Because, God, if you don't, it gets horrible. Horrible.
And I think, you know, like you said, Pat, is just kind of constantly keeping your son at the forefront of
right in the middle.
The decisions you make. You know, all the conversations you have, all the decisions you make. Like, is this the best thing for him? Is this the right thing for him? And kind of try and take your own feelings, which it must be very hard to do, out of that. But yeah,
just don't get bitter about it. Just don't get bitter. Don't make it about your ex-partner.
And, you know, look, we really do wish you all the best with how you manage this situation. And thank you for emailing us with it, and I hope in some way we have helped. And, you know, obviously we would love to hear, you know, how it goes. You know, if you feel like you are able to, or you'd like to kind of give us a a bit of an update on the situation, then we obviously is we always have this when we have dilemmas in, we kind of talk about it, we give our sort of thoughts and advice, and then we don't hear kind of the final outcome, which
give us the outcome.
Yeah, let us know how it, and we really do hope that, you know, you're able to kind of manage this together in the best way possible for your son.
So that's it. Another episode done.
Bosh.
Remember, there's loads of ways you can get in touch with us, guys. You can find us both on Instagram. I'm at Ruth Gordon. Angie's at Ange Gordon.
You can find the podcast on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok and YouTube. Just search Finding the Funny Podcast.
Or you can send us an email, findingthefunnypodcast@gmail.com. But I will be less broken next week, I promise. And Angie and I will be back next week helping you to find more of the funny.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.